Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home, Text 15. Abhibrad, Aryama, Danda, Yathavad, Agha, Karisho, Yava, Dadhara, Shudratwa, Shapad, Varsha, Shata, Yama. Abhibrad Aryama Dandam, Yatavad Agakarishu, Yavadadara Shudratwa, Shapadvarsha Shatam Yama, Abhibrad Aryama Danda, Yatavadagakarisho, Yavadadara Shudratwa, Shapadvarsha Shatam Yama, Abhibrad Aryama Danda, Yatavad Agakarisho, Yavadadara Shudratwa, Shapadvarsha Shatam Yama. Administer. Aryama. Aryama. Danda. Punishment. Yatavat. As it was suitable. Agakarisho. Unto persons who had committed sins. Yavat. As long as. Dadara. Accepted. Shudratwa. The tabernacle of a sudra. Shapat. As the result of a curse. Varshashatam. For 100 years. Yama. Yamaraj. Those of you who were in class on Monday, not so many of you, would recognize this is the verse that Prabhupada gave class on Monday. Yeah. Although there was a small attendance. Okay. Translation. As long as Vidura played the part of a Shudra, being cursed by Manduka Muni, Aryama officiated at the post of Yamaraj to punish those who committed sinful acts. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Vidura, born in the womb of a Shudra woman, was forbidden even to be a party of royal heritage along with his brothers Dhritarashtra and Pandu. Then how could he occupy the post of a preacher to instruct such learned kings and kshatriyas as Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Yudhisthira? The first answer is that even though it is accepted that he was a Sudra by birth, because he renounced the world for spiritual enlightenment by the authority of Rishi Maitreya and was thoroughly educated by him in transcendental knowledge, he was quite competent to occupy the post of an acharya or spiritual preceptor. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, anyone who is conversant in the transcendental knowledge or the science of Godhead, be he a Brahmin or a Shudra, a householder or a sannyasi, is eligible to become a spiritual master. Even in the ordinary moral codes maintained by Chanakya Pandit, the great politician and moralist, there is no harm in taking lessons from a person who may be by birth less than a Sudra. This is one part of the answer. The other is that Vidura was not actually a Shudra. He was to play the part of a so-called Shudra for 100 years, being cursed by Manduka Muni. He was the incarnation of Yamaraj, one of the 12 Mahajans, on the level with such exalted personalities as Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kapila, Bhishma, Prahlad, etc. Being a Mahajan, it is the duty of Yamaraj to preach the cult of devotion to the people of the world, as Narada, Brahma, and other Mahajans do. But Yamaraj is always busy in his Plutonic kingdom, punishing the doers of sinful acts. Yamaraj is deputed by the Lord to a particular planet, some hundreds of thousands of miles away from the planet of Earth, to take away the corrupt souls after death and convict them in accordance with their respective sinful activities. Thus Yamaraj has very little time to take leave from his responsible office of punishing the wrongdoers. There are more wrongdoers than righteous men. Therefore Yamaraj has to do more work than other demigods, who are also authorized agents of the Supreme Lord. But he wanted to preach the glories of the Lord, and therefore by the will of the Lord he was cursed by Manduka Muni to come into the world in the incarnation of the Vidura and work very hard as a great devotee. Such a devotee is neither a Shudra nor a Brahmin. He is transcendental to such divisions of mundane society, just as the personality of Godhead assumes his incarnation as a hog, but he is neither a hog nor a Brahma. He is above all mundane creatures. The Lord and his different authorized devotees sometimes have to play the role of many lower creatures to claim the conditioned souls. But both the Lord and his pure devotees are always in the transcendental position. When Yamaraj thus incarnated himself as Vidura, his post was officiated by Aryama, one of the many sons of Kasyapa and Aditi. The Adityas are sons of Aditi, and there are 12 Adityas. Aryama is one of the 12 Adityas, and therefore it was quite possible for him to take charge of the office of Yamaraj during his 100 years absence in the form of Vidura. The conclusion is that Vidura was never a Shudra, but was greater than the purest type of Brahman. Abhibrad Aryama Dandam Yatabad Agakari Shu Yavadadara Shudra Twam Shapad Varsha Shatam Yama. As long as Vidura played the part of a Sudra, being cursed by Manduka Muni, Aryama officiated at the post of Yamaraj to punish those who committed sinful acts. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastichyade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramunityananda Sri Advaiti Gadadha Shivasani Gauravakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vanchakabhacharubhyasthagribhasindubhyevacha Vatidhanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So those of you who were here on Monday for the class given by Srila Prabhupada, you would recall that Srila Prabhupada described in some detail the particular incident which is being referred to here of Yamaraj being condemned, cursed, to take birth as a Shudra because of, well, being cursed by Manduka Muni because of what Manduka Muni felt to be an offense against him by Yamaraj. Prabhupada really went into it in some detail. It was a bit graphic, actually. What happened was that Manduka Muni, he was a great saintly person living in the forest. He had an ashram in some very peaceful place in the forest, and he was living very nicely there in Krishna consciousness, because he was very elevated devotee and spiritual personality. But he was living there in his ashram, and from time to time people would come and stay in his ashram. So Prabhupada explains that actually one time some criminals who had just committed some crime, in order to hide, they came to stay in his ashram thinking that this is a spiritual ashram, the police are not going to come and look for us here. But little did they know, the police did come and found the criminals and arrested them. But they also arrested Manduka Muni. Not that he had done anything at all. In fact, he was completely oblivious to the situation, but the police just assumed that he must be one of them. So he was arrested along with them, and he was condemned to be killed by being pierced by a lance. Yes. So the date for the execution was approaching, and somehow or other the king of that particular state, who had not been aware that Manduka Muni had been arrested, but he wasn't aware of that at all, but somehow the king became aware that actually this great saint, this well known saintly devotee of the Lord, has somehow been condemned to death for this reason and that. And the king immediately understood this is a terrible mistake. So he went and had Manduka Muni released, and he apologized and begged forgiveness for the mistake. And Manduka Muni said, it was not your mistake. You didn't even know. It was Yamaraj's mistake. So he went to Yamaraj as a great, well, we heard yesterday how these very elevated spiritual personalities, they can travel interplanetarily. So he went off to Yamaloka and he confronted Yamaraj that, here I am, I'm a devotee of the Lord, I know my karma. Even these great elevated devotees, they may know exactly what their karma is. That's explained by Narada Muni. I think it's in the fourth canto, if I remember correctly. So he understood his karma. So he confronted Yamaraj and said, how did you arrange for this to happen? It is not in my karma. You have done a wrong thing, Yamaraj. I was almost killed because of your mistake. So Yamaraj then explained to him, actually, when you were a child, you killed an ant by piercing it with a straw. So now you received the reaction that you were going to be pierced by a lance and killed, but it didn't happen. And Manduka Muni said, okay, it may not have happened, but still it was a very traumatic experience, being locked up and convicted, and then, you know, all this unpleasantness surrounding the situation. It was wrong. And so he cursed Yamaraj. He cursed Yamaraj that you did wrong. It's your responsibility to arrange that people get their karma properly. And you did a wrong thing here. It was not really my karma. Still, you arranged it to happen. So, I curse you. And he cursed him to become a sutra. So Yamaraj was born as Vidura, and Ariyama, as mentioned here, who's another demigod, one of the 12 Adityas, and he is an assistant, an associate of Yamaraj, and he works with Yamaraj. So he took that role for the 100 of our years that Vidura was present here. In terms of the periods of time, the divisions of time of someone like Yamaraj, it's not 100 years. It was actually a relatively short period of time, maybe some days or weeks, something like that. But at least for that period, someone had to be Yamaraj. So Ariyama, who was an experienced person and a member of Yamaraj's team, so he knew how all these things work, he officiated in the role of Yamaraj for that, by their standards, short period of time, by our standards, 100 human years. So Prabhupada explained that, and those of you who were here on Monday, you would remember Prabhupada explained it much more graphically. Actually, we will not go into the details. You can have a look if you like. Look up the class. So Prabhupada focuses on a couple of points here in the purport. The first point Srila Prabhupada focuses on is how could Vidura, who was basically a sutra, actually he was in a mixed position, but his mother was a sutra. His mother was a regular sutra, therefore he was counted as a sutra. How could someone who's a sutra, a laborer, just, you know, it's a very lowly position in society, how could a sutra take the role of a spiritual authority as Vidura is doing here in front of advanced kshatriyas who are twice born? Kshatriyas are initiated and are trained. They have spiritual masters and they're trained in transcendental knowledge, transcendental practices and way of life, not to the same standard as a Brahmin, but still they are definitely trained, and in many ways they're very qualified. Whereas sudras don't receive such education. They're just brought up to do the particular type of sutra work that their family has traditionally been doing for generations, and they just carry on doing whatever that type of simple manual labor is. So how could Vidura, who was born as a sutra and raised by a sutra mother, how could he instruct? Prabhupada says, it's interesting here in the purport, Prabhupada says, how could he instruct such learned kings and kshatriyas as Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Yudhisthira? Maharaj Yudhisthira, of course, we can understand. He was very highly educated and extremely highly qualified personally, in terms of his character. He was an extremely pure-hearted soul. And even though he was a kshatriya, he did not really have so much of the kind of more passionate and relatively lower nature of a kshatriya. He was a very sattvic person, very renounced person, and he had very amazing, wonderful personal qualities like tolerance, amazing tolerance, patience, mercy, gentleness. So Maharaj Yudhisthira was certainly very qualified, even though he was not a Brahmin, he was a Kshatriya, but he was very qualified. And what to speak of being extremely knowledgeable. But we might be surprised to hear Srila Prabhupada mention the name of Dhritarashtra, a learned king like Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra, of course, is famous for, in many ways, not exhibiting much qualification, but despite the fact that in many respects he lacked qualification, you know, like detachment, Maharaj Yudhisthira was very detached. When they were exiled to the forest, Bhima and Arjuna would get angry sometimes, and Draupadi, their wife, they would get angry sometimes. See how we're being treated. This is wrong. Let's just go and fight with them now. But Yudhisthira would say, no, 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 it's all right. It's very nice living in the forest. Let's just carry on, and it's very pleasant. Because it was very sattvic. So Dhritarashtra, he didn't have many of those personal qualifications of character that Maharaj Yudhisthira did have, but still he should not be totally underestimated and written off as just a hopeless case, a completely useless person in the guise of a so-called kshatriya who is meant to be knowledgeable and initiated and chanting Gayatri regularly like this. In fact, you see, if you read the Mahabharata, which we don't really do much, at least, if at all, but certainly not much, but if you do, you'll see right at the beginning, anyway, somewhere in the beginning stages, is a chapter devoted to the lamentation of Dhritarashtra after the battle of Kurukshetra, where all his sons were killed and he lost everything, and he was placed in a completely hopeless position materially. So there is a whole chapter in which Dhritarashtra laments that, I knew it was going to come to this. when such and such happened, I knew it was going to come to this. And then when another thing happened, I knew it was going to come to this. Then when another thing happened, I knew it was going to come to this. And then when another thing happened, I knew it was going to come to this. And he just goes on and on and on and gives so many examples of different things that happened. And when they happened, he knew in the end, because of all these things, great, great inauspiciousness was going to come to him and his family, and they would just lose everything. So, you know, he had that type of intelligence, at least, to understand what the consequences of different activities may be, and the consequences of many, many activities, how they're likely to result, to produce certain results. But the problem was, he didn't have the character to stand up and stop it. Although he was actually the king. At least he was in the position of the king. Effectively, he was the king. And he could have, theoretically, he could have just said, stop this. Stop dealing with the Pandavas in this way. Let them rule and settled everything. He could have settled everything. He wouldn't have been very popular with Duryodhan and various other people. But as the king, he could have done it, but he didn't do it, because he lacked that character. Although Yudhisthira did not lack character in the same way. Of course, Yudhisthira, he got involved in the gambling match, and there are some problems there. But otherwise, in general, his character as a person was extremely high. Extremely high character. Dhritarashtra, he was not on that level of personal character. But anyway, still, he's being referred to here, Prabhupada's saying, that how could a Sudra, or someone born as a Sudra, and raised in a Sudra family, like Vidura, instruct such learned Kshatriyas as Dhritarashtra and Maharaj Yudhisthira? But here he is doing exactly that. He's instructing Dhritarashtra, and Yudhisthira and the others are all gathered there, and they're all hearing and just relishing the transcendental nectar, and they're not thinking that, wow, see how Dhritarashtra is getting the sauce, the hot chili sauce. And but it's not for us, we're good guys, so let us leave them and let him give Dhritarashtra the sauce and we'll go away. They were sitting there and listening, and it was just so nice, even though it was strong chastisement, very strong for Dhritarashtra. So anyway, why? How could it be like that? Vidura born as a Sudra is instructing people who by Vanashram standards would be considered considerably more advanced. And, you know, it would be like an extreme rasa-basa, wrong type of mixing of relationships for someone like Vidura to instruct them. How could it be? Because Krishna consciousness is transcendental. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. And anyone who's qualified in Krishna consciousness, anyone, ye Krishna tattva veta, se guru hoy. So anyone who is qualified, educated, sufficiently educated in Krishna Tattva, the science of Krishna consciousness, se guru hoy. They can function as gurus. They can be gurus. This is one of the most foundational points in the philosophy and mission of Lord Chaitanya, is that birth really doesn't matter at all. In fact, birth should basically be completely overlooked. And what should be seen is the transcendental qualification. So even we see with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself that, for example, he made Haridas Thakur the Namacharya. He officially sort of appointed him or recognized him that you are the authority on the chanting of the holy names. You are the authority. And of course in Kali Yuga the process is the chanting of the holy names. So if you are made the authority in the chanting of the holy names, that's a very important position. Extremely important position. But Haridas Thakur was born not just in a Sudra family, but less than Sudra. Not just like Vidura. He happened to have a Sudra mother, although his father was not a Sudra. His father was a Kshatriya. And he just had a Sudra mother. In the case of Haridas Thakur, he was born in a Muslim family, and they were outside Varnashram. Generally they are referred to, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are referred to as Yavanas. Just on many, many occasions when references made to Muslims in the texts, you don't find the word Muslim, you find the word Yavana, but Prabhupada then translates it as Muslim. So less than Sudra, but he was made the Namacharya. And then of course Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, they were Brahmin by birth, but then by association, at least in terms of the understandings of the rigid followers of Varnashram in those days, because they were very closely associated with Muslims for years, they were considered to have lost their position as Brahmins. But Lord Chaitanya made them, they were the two leaders of the six Goswamis, particularly Rupa Goswami is the leader, and Sanatan Goswami is the most senior, and the two of them are the leaders of the six Goswamis. Then again, Raghunath Das Goswami was born as a Kayasta, which is something to do with Sudra or maybe Vaishya, something like that. One way, it varies in different parts of the country, Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but one way or another, it's a lower position than Brahman. But Lord Chaitanya gave him the position of sannyasi, and he was also one of the great authorities in the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And then again Ramananda Roy, his position in terms of Varnashram was more or less Sudra, but he was practically the closest associate of Lord Chaitanya, and the two of them were just totally absorbed in Krishna conscious discussion. practically 24 hours a day, every day, while Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri. Like that. So this is one of the most foundational points in the philosophy and mission of Lord Chaitanya, that the birth is not important, but the spiritual qualification is important. And if someone is truly spiritually qualified, then they can take the position of acharya, spiritual preceptor, or spiritual master, or even like the head of a whole spiritual institution, on the basis of their spiritual qualification and completely overlooking their material background. And Srila Prabhupada makes a further point here in that regard. It's an interesting point that it is not necessarily just a matter of spiritual consideration. If someone's a devotee, an advanced devotee, then whatever their family background, birth background is, we can overlook that totally and just recognize them in terms of their spiritual qualification. Prabhupada here in the purport refers to Chanakya Pandit, who said that also, even in material terms, if people in terms of varnashram and just material qualification, if people, whatever their birth is and their position in society in those terms, but if they exhibit the qualification of another varna, another occupational type of position or role, then they can be recognized in terms of their occupational qualification. So in other words, if someone is born a sutra, but they become an expert Brahmin, even by material standards, just material standards, Brahminical qualification of cleanliness, truthfulness, knowledge of Vedic literature, meaning not the transcendental Vedic literature, but Karmakandiya Vedic literature, then they must be accepted as Brahmins. Or on the other hand, if someone is born Brahmin or Kshatriya, but they exhibit the qualifications and the character, the propensities, tendencies of a sudra or whatever position, then they must be accepted in those terms and step down. Yeah. Interesting example of that is in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, was Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta was, his family by tradition was Brahmin, but he became a doctor, and he was really into being a doctor. So, and doctor is either Vaishya or Sudra position, and so he was accepted more, recognized more in Varnashram terms as being in that sort of role as a doctor rather than as a Brahmin, although again he was extremely qualified as a devotee. So therefore there's no problem in any sense with Vidura being accepted as an acharya, as a Brahmin, as a very advanced person, either transcendentally or just by Varnashram. Yes. And the Pandavas understood that. It appears even Dhritarashtra understood that. And so when Vidura came and started preaching to Dhritarashtra, everybody else gathered around, and they didn't think that, you know, who is this? We don't need to listen to this person. But they relished his instruction totally, and were fully submissive to Vidura as an elevated devotee. So like this, as Chanakya Pandit says, you can take gold from a dirty place. You might think, oh, it's a dirty place, I'm not going to put my hand in there. But if there's gold there, you should take it, even from a dirty place, because then you can just clean it, and it's gold. It's so much more valuable than just the dirt from the dirty place where you took it. So that point Srila Prabhupada focuses on. Then he looks at a second point, that it's not just the fact that Vidura was so extremely spiritually qualified, despite being a Sudra by birth. Prabhupada makes the point that he was not really a Sudra anyway. He's Yamaraj. And when he, in other words, when he took birth, his qualification as Yamaraj was still present. Yamaraj is a spiritual expert. And when he took birth as Vidura, he wasn't really just a Sudra. He's Yamaraj. He's big spiritual authority anyway. But the thing is that at least amongst the demigods, those who are very spiritually qualified, not all demigods are very spiritually qualified, but some are very spiritually qualified. Prabhupada mentions here Lord Brahma, the head of our sampradaya, our disciplic succession. Spiritually, he's extremely qualified. Extremely qualified as a great pure devotee of the Lord. And in that sense, not only is he spiritually qualified, but he is a great authority. So he's one of the Mahajans, one of the 12 Mahajans, means authorities in the sense that they expound transcendental philosophy, transcendental principles. They teach them and establish them in society. So Brahma comes from time to time and participates in the pastimes of the Lord, or comes in a certain situation and teaches something spiritually, even. He does like that from time to time. Because as a devotee, as a great spiritual authority and someone who's just full of Krishna consciousness, it's like it's just overflowing out of him. So he likes to come and preach and leave his demigod duties briefly and come and preach, because devotees like to do that. They like to do that. Even though other activities in Krishna consciousness are very nice, and devotees are happy to do any bona fide service, but to preach the glories of the Lord and to help others understand the glories of the Lord and help them to become devotees, the devotees love to do that. And it's like their highest pleasure, practically. So therefore Lord Brahma comes from time to time, and he does that because he likes to do it, because he's a devotee. Prabhupada in the purport, as you'll recall, Prabhupada says that also Yamaraj is such a devotee. And Yamaraj would really like to do that himself. But there is a problem. Yamaraj, out of all the demigods, you know, some demigods, they sort of relax in the heavenly planets and enjoy life. But not Yamaraj. He's a busy demigod. Because he has to sort out all the human beings. And first of all, keep track of all their activities so that all their activities are recorded so they can be properly judged at the time of death and then sent into the suitable next body. Yeah, so... And then, after, you know, evaluating, keeping track, evaluating them at the time of death, and then sending them to the next body, he then has to see that they get all the reactions that they're due to get. It's a big job. It's a very big job. And indeed, in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada explains, there's a verse which mentions it, and Prabhupada explains how Yamaraj, because his service to the Lord in terms of dealing with the materialistic people, because his service is so extremely important, he is especially empowered by the Supreme Lord. That he has practically the capacity of the super soul to understand all living entities simultaneously. All of them simultaneously. You know, it's by our standards completely inconceivable. The intelligence and the scope of perception and understanding he has, it's just completely inconceivable. So because Yamaraj is so extremely busy, as Prabhupada says in the purport, the wrongdoers outnumber the pious people. Very much so. So he is flat out. And he doesn't get time to take a break and do what he'd really like to do, which is not sleep or eat, but to go and preach. He just doesn't get a chance. Other demigods, they get a chance. He doesn't get a chance. Therefore, this whole incident with Manduka Muni, in which it appears that Yamaraj may have made a mistake, as Prabhupada explains in the purport here, it was the arrangement of the Lord. Yamaraj is so dutiful that if the Lord said to him, listen, do you want to take a break, go and preach? Then Yamaraj would say, no, I have my duty here. I have to do it. So the Lord arranged that he was forced to do it by the powerful curse of a very powerful sage, devotee. He was forced. And when he came as Vidura, he was preaching. He eventually got kicked out, we mentioned yesterday. He eventually got kicked out of the palace, the same palace he's returned to here. He eventually got kicked out by Duryodhana because he was preaching so much to Duryodhana and to Dhritarashtra. Stop doing this. Stop treating the Pandavas in this way. Stop being a rascal and do the right things. He was just constantly preaching. And Duryodhana, who was really quite demoniac, even though Vidura is his uncle and is a senior, eventually it got to the point Duryodhana couldn't take it any longer and just kicked him out. And the Bhagavatam verse says he kicked him out and all he left him with was his life ear. He didn't give him an allowance, you know, a credit card. You can spend so much money a month. He just kicked him out with only his life ear. Otherwise, nothing. Just like a penniless beggar. Yeah. So this whole incident we mentioned of the curse of Manduka Muni, it was the Lord's arrangement, because he knew Yamaraj would like to preach. So he came and he preached. And here he is preaching again, fearlessly, almost ruthlessly. It's so heavy. His preaching is so heavy. Yeah. So when devotees come by the special arrangement of the Lord, or even Prabhupada says, when the Lord comes, and either the devotee or the Lord, by material standards, may somehow or other appear to have a bad position. Like Prabhupada mentions, the Lord comes as a hog. It's a very bad position, very bad position. Not even human being, and even amongst the animals, like a low class animal. But we should never think that the Lord is that. And if the devotee like Vidura, Yamaraj, comes and is apparently a sutra, we should never think he's like that. He's a powerful devotee. And on top of that, Vidura, he was instructed by Maitreya. That's also here in Srimad Bhagavatam. Maitreya instructs Vidura. So, you know, by any point of view, his spiritual training by Maitreya, very great spiritual person, or just the fact that he was Yamaraj, whichever way you look at it, you definitely shouldn't underestimate Vidura and think he's just a sutra. And similarly with any devotee. Sometimes devotees are a little funny, meaning funny, strange. Sometimes some devotees are a little eccentric. But first and foremost, they're devotees, and we should really try to see through the material. If there's a little material facade of some sort, we should try to see through it to see what sort of devotee they really are, and then appreciate them like that. Just one example, in I think Boston Temple in America, or in some temple, many years ago, in Prabhupada's time, there was one boy came, and he was very, sort of, he had an interest in Krishna consciousness, but he was very strange. In fact, he was sort of like there was some mental disorder. And he would come to the temple every day, into the foyer, and lie down in the foyer where people would walk in. And his name was Pete, and the devotees called him Crazy Peter. Yeah, but still he was very, you know, he had an attachment for Krishna consciousness. So one devotee, actually Giriraj Maharaj, was telling us that he was there and he saw this, and Crazy Peter was just, you know, like a bit of a laughing stock. Then many years later, Maharaj said, Well, he went to India and he stayed in India for many years, and he lost touch with what was going on in America, and he lost touch with what was happening with Crazy Peter. But then after many years, he went back to America, and he had been reading some translations of Vedic literatures by a devotee called Kushakrata Das, who translated many of our Vaishnava literatures into English. Many. Dozens and dozens and hundreds. And he was like a really special Sanskrit scholar. And Maharaj had been reading those literatures, some of them. And he didn't know who was this Kushakrata, but he thought, wow, he's really something special. So then he went back to America, and one day he heard, there's going to be a special program. Kushakrata Das is going to make a presentation about Krishna consciousness. So Maharaj thought, yes, wow, we must go and meet Kushakrata Das. So he was there, many devotees were there waiting, and then the MC announced, and so now please welcome Kushakrata Prabhu. And who should walk out but Crazy Peter? He had become Kushakrata Das and big Sanskrit scholar. So, and you know, frankly, he remained eccentric. Not like crazily, but still quite eccentric. Yeah. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. So, yeah. We have to really try to appreciate the heart of the devotee as much as we can, and not be too much affected by the exterior of the devotee. And because devotees are devotees, if we really appreciate their hearts, then we'll appreciate them and we'll be happy to be in their association. And the association of any nice devotee, and able to overlook their material nature, even though materially they might be the type of person we would never associate with if we were just living material lives. So there you are. Some thoughts on Vidura. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Any comments or questions? Where's Madhu Mangal Prabhu?
He's not in Greece.
Oh, he's gone. He went. Okay. Oh, it's late. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.